such concern is it? So I'm telling them that we're going to talk about this exhibition specifically, the pieces maybe.
Welcome everybody. I have a very small voice.
Mm-hmm. Again, not a cat. Yeah.
I have a very small voice. Yeah.
Can you hold it?
Welcome everybody. Nice to meet you. Mm-hmm. Nice to meet you. I don't know where to start. I guess maybe you guys are curious about the exhibition title. I think it's well written in the press text, but it's important maybe to do with my own word. I think I can introduce myself as a kind of sculptor. I think I'm mostly concerned about the physical space. But what I would like to narrate is often like varies so much. Like sometimes it's about the hidden narrative, how it can be manifested in the space, like in an abstract language. I was very concerned about how like artists or we concerned about historical narrative or figures or like cultural phenomena, but then not necessarily narrate, but without losing the narrative completely. So often the visual manifestation is very contained. I think that's very important word for me, the containedness. So it's actually contained, but doesn't really reveal thoroughly. It doesn't open up entirely. If it entirely open, then it competes with the reality. Maybe it's a big topic to touch upon, but my general attitude is based on the respect to the reality. Like as an artist, I'm an observer. I don't experience everything by myself. It's not my own experience. It becomes a kind of lived experience through research, through deep concern, but I'm not the one who have experience. So I want to actually create I want to maintain the distance. So therefore I use the language that has a more distance to the reality. And in a visual language, I think it has been kind of very hybrid language. Sometimes it's very highly abstracted, and sometimes it has been very crafted. So in a sculptural language, these two traditions has been less reconciled so far. I'm not necessarily trying to reconcile these two different distinguished language. I juxtapose them. So as you can see, which I created kind of like introduction of my work, especially since this show is for the first time in Mexico and Latin America, I thought I will just show like the very various languages that I developed so far. So in the middle of the show, we have a very minimalistic sculpture. It's even leaning on the Western art history, which is a minimalism, specifically like the language of Soluit. He has worked with many different types of work, and one of them is called modular structure. There are like dozens and hundreds of this modular structure made with wooden sticks. So it's basically consisting of like cube structure. So he's concerned like how the structure can grow and stack and manifest itself. And I was interested in minimalism. I mean, I rediscovered the minimalism as a adult, not as a student, in a sense that I saw like some significance which could be interesting for today's artists. That was like a notion of the leap, and minimalism kind of liberated us from the symbolic way of narrating things. You know, like from the medieval time to the modern times, the visual art has been narrating what has been in the environment, such as like society and personal life, and they somehow like liberated us from this connection, like binary connection between the narration and an abstraction. And I was like borrowing this power of liberation to compose this this work with my own material, which is Venetian blind. So what you see is the translation of the cubical structure with the numerous lines. So now it became like more transparent. I mean, this original work was also transparent, but it became more mesmerizing structure, creating like more ray effect and reflecting the light. And there is an idea of the surface resurrected, which was deleted in the original piece by Soluit, and now it got expanded and grown into the certain size that is also like same. I mean, the expansion itself has been done in the same way as the minimalist applied so-called the randomness. I think that the very random principle how minimalists work, such as like they work, okay, like why cube, you know, or why from 1 to 10, and these were the randomness that actually the very act of the liberation, they actually contributed to the art history. So this is the middle part, and then surrounding of it looks a bit different. Then the what we see in the middle, it also differentiated through the different use of the light. The pale light illuminating the middle, the modular structure, contrast to the other types of spotlight that support the wall structure, wall pieces, and the intermediate, the straw sculpture. And I also wanted to make a, like a layers, so maybe we go all the way back to the entrance. When you come in, there is this kind of a like wall or a screen. The from the entrance we see like how do you say, like it's called actually lenticular vinyl. It breaks the light and make the color gradation and shiny surfaces that has maybe nothing to do with the actual color we see. But then when we turn around, we see the different structure, how the wall is constructed. And there is a kind of hidden mask inherent in the wall. It's a kind of caricature of the face, like a big mask. So that's the kind of entrance situation, and we see a little bit of exhibition already through the hole. So that's the first layer I did, and the second layer is maybe the wall paint. We try to match the wall with the floor, so it's kind of like rendering the whole space with a certain grade, and it's dimmed. And then the middle one, and then the surrounding is the intermediate, and the right on the surface of the gray wall, we created a murals. So the paper collage series titled "The Trustworthy," it has started. I mean, it has been one of the biggest work cycle I have worked on several years. And it started as a singular, a small, modest, singular paper collage composition, like a horizontal lines and tilted in 10 degrees. And now what we saw is much more complex and kaleidoscopic composition. And that this development of a trustworthy also has something to do with other activities of mine, like self-publishing of the graph paper called the Grid Block. So from 2000, I published my own graph paper. It has something to do with how we live with a certain standardization, like unit system such as millimeter, centimeter, metric system or 10 as a unit and subdivision, and I work with the geometry as well as the unit idea of the unit that the whole society is working, I'm leaning onto. But then I developed my own graph paper to insert different system that, with the hope that some people might think it is interesting to use. So right now we this new mural series of the Trustworthies is based on newest graph graph paper, which has which is based on the Islamic symmetric Islamic geometry. So that has a kaleidoscopic, like centralized composition, and that is also combined with the other types of collage. Maybe when you see on top, these are made of like different sandpapers, and I found like sandpaper also interesting. That it is a functional. I mean, both like graph paper as well as sandpaper has a function. The sandpaper's function is, you know, like send something through its own like roughness. So there are different, again, like standardized roughness, like 10 or no, not 10, doesn't exist, like 100 or 400. And the funnily enough, there were a visual aspect of the color that has nothing to do with its function. Me and my team has collected sandpaper from all over the world. There are sometimes same roughness, let's say like 400, but it comes sometimes in orange or yellow or blue or gray. And we found it actually interesting that this the randomness of the color. So these are like combination we use to create like what we cannot usually feel, which is the texture. And here we also use the envelopes, that is the printed inside of the envelope to hide the content. And that was actually the beginning point of the Trustworthies that, I don't know if Maria has explained already, no?
By all means,
yeah. So I was interested in this so-called security patterns because it kind of directs the communication path. Like the letters or documents travel through, like traveled certain way, but wrapped in the envelope that is protected through this security pattern. So it is the communication, like, but then very directed communication. Only certain people should open and get the information. And for me, it is a disturbing but also comforting idea that it's not the communication for everybody. It's not about the absolute transparency, but it's very intimate, maybe directed communication I could read from the use of the security pattern. And today, the security pattern is used much to transport like very personal data, such as like password or the bills, and so it is about also protection as well. And I think when it comes down to the protection, I feel a bit uncomfortable that we have to protect ourselves from the others with the idea that they might steal the information. But however, it could be also useful more like intimate way, and by putting them inside out, I kind of reveal the hidden aesthetics of this security pattern that has actually nothing to do with the function itself, like similar to the sandpaper. So it's, I think we can see a lot of this inverted strategy in my show, that in one hand, like I put the solute upside down and the envelope like inside out. Also the use of the straw, that is it looks very like organic and it transports the idea of the fog, but then again, actually it's 100% synthetic plastic. So it works with an idea and please the aimed aesthetic of the fog and civilization and agriculture and seasonal cycle, but there is a kind of like inverted like let's say like trap that it's actually synthetic. So I think that's kind of a typical in my work. There is a kind of turning point, like a lot of also the flowers and the plants I implanted in the sculptures are also synthetic. So the also the function and like acknowledging the function, like respect the function and leaning on the specific function, but then using these functional object or industrialized, industrially manufactured object in a very not functionally loyal way is another turning, like turning strategy. What else can I say? I think something new in this exhibition, I mean, in general, I try to create the show where, you know, the decorative ornaments and an abstraction kind of coexist, and they don't like canceling each other, the opposite, like I want to create the field where these two seemingly opposing components coexist next to each other, create like bigger field where juxtaposition itself become the content. What I want to say, I got a bit lost. the new element might be for me maybe this longer linear structure. I usually create more anthropomorphic sculptures, but these are kind of a new, let's say, creature. I found like anthropomorphic is very much like, you know, relying on the human scale and human body. And these are, I think, further like drifted away from the human body, but still manifest like strong connotation of like a some creatures, and I'm very surprised by myself the very strong suggestive power of these creatures, and also dividing and articulate the structure very effective way. Maybe another, I mean, it's maybe smaller detail, but this modular structure in the middle, I presented for the first time in the solo show in Beijing, which was my first solo project in China. And we installed like different way. I don't know if I can explain it right in words. So the principle of solid upside down series is take the solid structure and putting it upside down and make it suspended sculpture. But in that particular piece, I took it and put it upside down, and the very structure that I took, I doubled it and mirrored it. So the half of it actually looks the same as original. So in this case, that one is upside down, and this one close to us is actually sitting on the floor as the original piece looked like. So we have actually double volume. I create often the twins and doubles and siblings and couples, and these are another topic that I often referring to, that I'm strongly question the idea of the original, idea of the one, and whether it's not like complete questioning, like complete doubting, but for me, what's more important is the relationship between the one and the rest. like whatever the rest is, sometimes it's a transformation or mutations, and we are often actually not the one, and we are most of the time the rest. And how can we render the relation between the one and the rest? So the rest could be the shadow, the minor imageries, marginalized community. And so even in this soluit piece, I respect the original. Otherwise, I would not took it. Maybe that's another thing to explain, that if in the tradition of so-called appropriation in art, the appropriation took place as an irony, as a parody, and that attitude I don't have. I mean, at least consciously, I'm not practicing the irony or parody. I do respect the minimalist tradition. I do respect the way how soluit has worked with the cubical structure, which is not a natural organic form, but he saw this crystallized geometry everywhere in life. However, I think I'm not the one. I think I see myself as the rest. So I work with the idea of the original, but then try to make a lot of different configuration where we could see the relation in between. So why I was talking about it? So this piece, I think within the soluit upside down series, this is only one I actually doubled the original volume and make the like double relationship where the relation between the one and the rest is much more clear. So here we have like one is sitting and the other one is actually standing, I would say, but they both act or pretend to be a freestanding sculpture. So it is completely hung down from the ceiling, so it's like a marionette, you know? Something is, the whole weight is suspended, but then they pretend to be a freestanding sculpture. So that is another kind of commentary on, you know, the tradition of a sculpture that works with the gravity. And these actually are a floating structure, but then could appear as a freestanding sculpture. The very relationship between the truthful existence and the phenomena, how things are appearing, that is another topic for me. Like I think we know from the phenomenology that how it is important for the human life. The appearance, even it's sometimes the appearance is very deceiving. It could feel like a lie, but then again, we are leaning on the how things are appearing. Like even the color, it is a reticular phenomena that it has maybe nothing to do with the scientific reality, but that's how we actually work and communicate with each other. So I'm often interested in. Again, the distance between the appearance and the truthful being, and the same as historical references. And if I work with the historical or civilizational phenomena, I do want to study and research and know and understand like how it has been, the how the history has been written, and as an like official maybe. Of so-called like objective reading of facts and how the truth has been documented, but what's important to me eventually is maybe very idiosyncratic or even subjective reading of it that I can offer again to empower like our reading of the word.
We can open to questions. Yeah. ¿Tienen alguna pregunta para poder contestar sobre ese tema o algún comentario? Yes.
Hi there. So the text, the press release references, uses essay
It's very, very complex essay in the sense what Adolf Loos insisted, but also the reception of the essay is another level. And I think the way how I see the essay and use it is completely something else. So we have actually, again, the layers of layers of like significances. Like I knew the essay, but I kind of again like rediscovered it, and I read it again. It was interesting that if I try to be objective, like what he tried to do with this essay is kind of like very early stage of modernism, not necessarily minimalism, like modernism. Like modernism, in a sense, he was opposing the decorative elements in things, especially as an architect, he was concerned about a lot of decorative elements in architecture, which excessive decoration, the architecture kind of valued itself into something precious, and he was opposing the idea of decoration that we don't need it. And that attitude is actually the very idea of like modernism. Like modernists work with a much more emancipated way, opposing the decoration and ornament. So what I could see in his essay is a kind of the emergence of the modernism. So he argued a lot about like labor, like when the craftsman, like the workers and constructor could save their time from decorative work, they could devote their labor into something more meaningful. That's more or less like what he has insisted, but then the reception of his essay or his attitude has gone to beyond what actually he has intended. So if I exaggerate and saturate the reception, it was misused to deny entire traditional way of understanding that the symbol of decoration or the decoration as ritualistic effort. You know, like we know very well from a lot of ornamental elements contains not stupid, unnecessary content. Modernism is not for me. Like we are now like 2017, so we are very aware that the ornament and decoration is not all unnecessary effort. You know, but that time I think it was necessary to go against this idea, but like it was also used like by Nazi that to reinforce like their modern idea to improve the human civilization into more efficient functional way. They made a hierarchy: what is superior, what is inferior, and as someone who lives like 2017, we actually know we cannot go back to Adolf Loos' idea, but we cannot also reform, also accept the way how it has been received. So I think the way how I was rereading the text is opposing the idea of the crime, and empowering the idea of the ornament from the point of like here and now. So there was this another exhibition called like the same like abstract, the ornament and abstraction, and this exhibition were like very much actively looking into ornaments and decoration in ethnical work up to the modern artists who embrace the idea of like ethnic or anthropological element. So, and I think the way how I see my own work is, as I maybe introduced slightly at the beginning, that I would not go for one or the another. I think that the very inconsistency or like negating or resisting to go for one or the other, that's the maybe the very attitude of what I want to empower. I don't know if it answers your question. Minimalism.
Minimalism was mainly a male movement, no?
Like Western.
Western,
like
macho. Like
Or American also phenomenon, maybe.
Yes.
Yeah, like art history, Western art history in general is a tough field for me to relate it to. I mean, I'm as someone who was born and grown up in Korea, like you learn it, so it's something very familiar. Like we learn from Western art history to Oriental art history, we learn calligraphy as well as watercolor, oil painting. I've gone through very classical academic sculptural training, meaning I could do like realistic modeling, bronze casting, wood carving, like stone carving, like it is a very familiar language of like Western canon of like sculptural tradition as well as art history. However, I guess the like reality of maybe artists like me grown up in Asia is that the introduction of modern art history has been something very brutal. Like it was like superimposed on top, that like it was just imported, you know. It's there were a very short amount of time and negotiation to digest it properly. So it was absolute violent process of superimposition. So even as someone who grown up in a westernized Asian region, I had a tough relationship to embrace and work with it. It only started, I would say, visually around 2013 that I found some small openings to Western, let's say, avant-garde. And most of those artists who open up the small accessibility for me were the artists who work with, I mean, who were a very like leading figure of Western art history, but however, they had very contradictory aspect as well, like Sophie Taillebaud-Arve or Soluit. They looked very, how can I say, To my eyes, they were very complex enough that I could also relate myself to them. And in the case of Soluit, I liked the gentleness, I mean, the consequentness as well as the gentleness towards his own idea that metaphorically I could say, I don't know if I have read it or just heard as a metaphor, like it can be summarized with this metaphor that while Donald Judd was trying to make the whole world into a cubical system, so Soluit already saw cubes everywhere in life. So I respect that idea of, you know, one is so liberated that he saw everywhere a cube, you know, in the door or whatever. So he doesn't need to turn whole world into a cube. And that's very totalitarian idea. And he was much more spiritual and liberated. And also, I think, was much more gentle. And the similar way Sophie Taiba Arp, who was maybe known as one of the Dada artists. I mean, she was the one who did the first performance at the Dada exhibition in Zurich as a dancer, but also she became like architect, education, one of the Bauhaus, and she did actually, in fact, craftsmanship, pedagogy, spiritual communal life, and she was part of the artist commune called the Monte Verita in Ascona in Switzerland with other artists and dancers who want to live the life differently. But she was also institutionally engaged in a lot of like Bauhaus-oriented education. She did the textile, like watercolor, sculpture painting, and I found it interesting like how like this very relatively less strong position of like Bauhaus could actually embrace all this different energy into her. And when you see her work, I mean, when I saw her work, I didn't see actually any conflict. She came up with the capacity to embrace all of this, and she became a melting pot by herself. So, and I don't know if these two examples explain like how I could slowly work with the Western art history.
¿Alguien más tiene alguna pregunta para Heiyu? Sí, vale.
So like trustworthiness, I mean, first of all, I think I come up with the general dimension. Like in this case, my imagination for the dimension of the work is a mural. Like I wanted to create a certain amount of surface. So it was clear from the beginning I want to make something feels like a mural, meaning it wraps us, you know. It's not that we confront it by a piece, it's like they surround us. And the secondly, I started to make one or two underlying motif. And here, actually, the motif, maybe you would say like, oh, I don't see that. For me, it was a mountainous, like electricized mountain. Mm-hmm. So these, the golden lines, these are actually magic mountains. And the collage itself actually becomes a kind of nodding point, like where the so when the cube is here, so I compose actually the line and the cube, a diamond or a cube, and they are kind of tangential point. So they pull the light. I pull the line, and like from the square, it can bounce different angle. So it's a kind of tangential structure that create and distort the mountainous elevation. So but the other way around, we can also think that this kaleidoscopic structure is sometimes in the mountain. So it's like buried in this mountain. So it's kind of like, let's say, X-ray of the mountain. Yes. They could be a mineral, like crystallization or something. And most of time, the sandpapers are, most of time, but there are exceptions, they are outside of the mountain. So they build, the first series I did with the sandpaper, I tried to make a cycle of planet, like I don't know, some of them are like a sun or eclipse, like how sun becomes moon and like become pale and small, and like go away from the center, and so these were the cycles. So they were actually outside of the mountain, but sometimes it embedded, like, and I think also something new in this series is there are a lot of exceptional figurative element. There is a tongue or eyes, and so these part of the figures are also. I haven't done much. I think it only appeared a bigger series last year, exactly 1 year before, and this is the second one that I'm kind of breaking my own rule of own rule, in the sense I barely made a line or surface that goes against the line offered by the graph paper. So, but for instance, like that, this has nothing to do with the background, and this only appears from the last series. So I'm starting to breaking my own rules and implanting much more figurative elements into it. Because the mural I was imagining were, my biggest inspiration were like tomb painting, you know, like, you know, ancient tomb, like you buried often with like the belongings what the person used to use, like from utensils to clothing, and on the wall there are often like murals in many civilization, and most of time these murals are narrating the life beyond the life, or the link between the this life and other life, and so this very mystic or mythological way of narrating the space between this and that life, that was like in general, maybe not particularly this piece, is the inspiration. Yes and no. Funnily enough, I have to confess that I'm not a spiritual person at all. I think like 0.0. Like I don't do yoga, or I'm not. I haven't seen the ghosts, and I wish. I think the ghosts are afraid of me. They don't appear to me. I desire so much to have that kind of encounter, but it doesn't happen to me. This tradition I'm interested in, and I think that's another my maybe stubbornness that, as we discussed slightly before, that I'm also doubting the lived experience. Only when you have lived that experience is it yours. Also the nationality and belongings, like there are a lot of political, social narrative that I found it difficult, because it's presupposed that you are the one who has the problem, who has that experience, and I'm daring to relate it to something that I haven't experienced by myself. I cannot call it lived experience, but it becomes quasi lived experience, because I insist, like also the notion of exile or refugee, that I think we can relate it to the phenomena even if we are not a refugee. And why did this idea of authenticity superimpose us as, you know, the political genuinity or cultural genuinity only renders through the fact that you are the one? So I am interested in that kind of phenomena even if I'm not the spiritual person.
About changing all this universe you
Often, I think I'm a kind of good girl artist, so I like to set up the rules, and because that's what I can call as a development. So I gradually develop something, so I follow up the way how I develop, but if I become too good at it, then I started to break. Like, for instance, how can I explain, like I develop something, and if I become too good at the rule I set up, then I become a master over my own rule. So I become like the one who set up the rule and who can govern the rule the best, and it become very uncomfortable for me. Then either I stop doing that types of work or I started to break the rule. Because for me, it's not about me being good at it, you know. I wanna struggle, so therefore I paved the way. It's the way where I can struggle. On this way, I can agonize it, but if I become like too good, then this way doesn't mean anything to me. Then I stop. So certain types of work, I proceeded for a while, or I worked with a particular material as far as I think that there is something I have. It's meaningful to fight with the material, but when there is a point that like let's say the relationship has been exhausted, then I say goodbye.
¿Alguien más? ¿Alguna pregunta? Which kind of experience were you imagining that the spectator of this specific exhibition would have?
I don't know. I think in general, it will be arrogant for me to imagine what would be the impression people would have, like in general. Like, of course, I create this and that to with an imagination, like people would feel the dimmed light, because this space, how I knew this space, is like flooded with light, and that's the beauty of this wood, and you know, it's a very generous, beautiful space, and now I block the way, so so I think it's I think the people, like especially like the audience in Mexico City knows the space, so they would feel that the dimmed light. So I intended many things, but in general, I try not to imagine how people would feel, because I think that's too arrogant. Because I want to be, I mean, in other way, I'm egoistic I'm egoistic meaning, or I'm very eager to get the fresh feedback. If I imagine too much, then I would not surprised by the feedback, so I try not to imagine. Also, I try not to be responsible for the feedback. I want to be irresponsible artist, so I restrained my imagination about the reaction, let's say.
But there's a little bit something of a cave,
yeah.
You know, sort of a that's wild space,
yeah.
Which is also
it's like
strange.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
It's very. I think La Cave is was the keyword I had, that it's more contained space, it's a bit isolated from outside. I don't know, some people feel cave spooky, but some people feel cave cozy. I don't know what you would feel, but the cave I intended here. Oh, shoot, yeah. yeah, it's we did. I'm running late with the decision where to put which smell, but we are going to install five so-called scent emitters. It's a small machine. It will hung down with the wire from the ceiling, and this little machine, like scent emitters, is we keep with a small motion sensor. So it will be hung like maybe in the height of the eye or nose, let's say. So when you passing by, this scent emitter will activate and give a puff of smell. So we will have five different smells here. Be surprised.
Good smells, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a question. I have the sense in the whole exposition that it's a lot about movement and blocking the movement. Mm. Like this has like so many different angles, and like you can move from one to another, and then in the middle you have this like really straight white. Does it, and you, like you said, I'm like flowing with this, and then when I'm too good at it, I change it. Is it a constant in your life, the movement and blocking and changing ways?
Yeah, I think I am interested in movement. Like movement, like there is a lecture I often give, and that is titled as a movement study. And I would start with the physical movement, rotation or oscillation, and the second level would be more like, you know, like social movement. You know, there is a tendency or social movement, like political dimension, but there is also emotional dimension of movement. Like we often say, oh, I'm moved, you know, something is moved in heart and mind, and that's a kind of mental, spiritual level of the movement. And the beyond it, I think there is also dimension of movement that is actually very much frozenness. I called it a frozenness, but that another word is also containedness. You cannot detect any movement. And I think that's also very high-end movement for me, when something is frozen. And because often when things are too animated, you actually get fatigued by the movement, and that's not the movement. For me, the movement, the dynamics in mind and physical sense, what interests us is actually the being sensitive about the movement. And sometimes we need the staticness to think about the movement. So a lot of time I offered an interaction, but then again very restrained the interaction, because I really believe the non-movement as a shadow side of the movement that is equally important. Often I think I'm interested in creating like exhibition display like this, build a layer, because it triggers movement. You constantly want to move to change your angle. Like you do it actually very unconsciously, because you are driven by the desire to see. And if something is in front of it, you automatically started to move to go away from it. But that's you, in one hand you go away from the object with what is very close to you, but you approach to another object that is far from you or behind something. So this kind of movement, like triggered by the desire, is the kind of principle how I build the layered display in the exhibition.
Thank you. ¿Alguien más? ¿Alguna pregunta? Vamos a tener una plática mañana en el MUAC a las 12 en el Ágora. También si quieren venir va a ser mucho más extensa sobre su práctica. Y el domingo, bueno, el sábado es el opening de 12 a 2. Y el domingo a la 1 en Bikini Wax en la colonia de Buenos Aires va a estar Heyu en conversación con la gente de Bikini Wax, también una perspectiva muy diferente también de su trabajo. Todos están invitados y
gracias por venir.
Gracias.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Well done.